Now we're going to come to our act of remembrance, and in a moment or two we'll be asking you to stand, but before that John is going to come and to lay a wreath. In fact, we'll ask you to stand now. They shall grow not old, as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor shall the years condemn. At the going down of the sun, and in the morning, we will remember them. We will remember them. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today for those in times past of world wars, other conflicts throughout the world, and not forgetting the most awful tragedies that were in our own land in recent years. We thank you for those who had courage to stand for their country. Lord, we are sorry that many of them never returned to their family and their friends. But we thank you nonetheless for the courage that they had and the desire to do what is right. And we have that privilege and freedom to worship today. And we remember the sacrifice that they gave. And so, Lord, we do wear our poppy with pride, because it is a symbol of hope in war, as it was long ago in that awful field around Flanders Fields. And so, Lord, help us as we just focus our minds with great respect, and as we pray for those who suffer still as a result of being affected by war. There were many vacant chairs. There were many sad homes. And even in this very community, in the last few years, the very same thing had happened. And so, Lord, we pray for those today who bear the scars of war and trouble and brutality. And, Lord, we also remember the conflict that is going on in the very land where Jesus walked, in Israel and Gaza. And we pray, Lord, for a peaceful resolution to that conflict. Oh, Father, our hearts are sore because we see what is happening and we see so much tragedy. And Lord, as we thank you for guiding us and helping us in the past, albeit at tremendous cost, we pray for those who are involved in security forces and are seeking to maintain law and order today. Teach us, good Lord, to serve the way that you deserve. Help us to give and not to count the cost. Help us to fight and not to heed the wounds. Help us to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing that we do your will. We pray in the name of the one who gave himself for us on Calvary's cross and rose again, that we have hope. Amen. Now your offering will be received. We said that the poppy was a symbol of hope. And the next hymn, Moira suggests, a lovely hymn, "There is a hope that burns within my heart." If you haven't got hope, you have nothing. If you haven't got hope for this life, but particularly if you haven't got hope for the life to come, you have nothing. There is a hope. Jesus gives us hope. Let us sing these lovely words.
Glory.
The text from John chapter 15, verse 13, is often quoted on Remembrance Sunday, and rightly so. The words of Jesus, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends." And of course, that is, well, we think of it on Remembrance Sunday with those who did lay down their lives, but of course we take it back to the cross where Jesus laid down his life for us. I believe there's no harm in standing for what you believe. In fact, I think it is right to stand for what you believe, provided what we believe is in the will of God and not just some notion that we might have about something. And we thank God for those who stood for what they believed. And in this country, we have known only too well. Indeed, I was at a service in this church, and when we remembered people who were murdered some time back, 50 years ago in Enniskillen, you recall, and there have been so many that are thought of, and they're people that are very much in our minds today. Families that suffered as a result of the tragedies of what happened in our land. We are not given many accounts of the later life of the apostles, though it is true that some of them, at least we understand, gave their lives for the cause of the gospel. Many of them were put to death. It is reckoned that some of them even wanted to be crucified upside down because they felt they were not worthy to be even put to death the same way as our Savior was. But certainly they gave their lives for the cause of the spreading of the gospel that has come throughout the world. And we are privileged to have and to have had in our churches and to believe it, I hope, in our hearts today. We also know that many of the people who translated the Bible into English had also to pay the supreme sacrifice of their lives for doing so. It has been said that if you don't have a cause that is worth living for, that is worth dying for, then you don't have something that is worth living for. And that's really the theme of what I want to say in this talk to you today. If you don't have a cause that is worth dying for, then really you don't have anything that is really and truly worth living for. Many of those whose names appear on rolls of honour in all our churches, they fought and died to defend their country against the tyranny of Hitler and the defeat of Nazism, and they felt they did so because they felt their cause in the will of God was something that was worth living for and worth dying for. And they did it for the good of generations that would come. And we are the recipients of the sacrifice that many of them made. Today, we remember with thanksgiving those who felt that that our future was something that was worth dying for long ago. I understand that 1.7 million people in the British people and Commonwealth died in the two world wars alone. 1.7 million. We're all, I'm sure, no matter what our political aspirations might be, we all like to see peace and want to see peace in our land, and peace all over the world, and indeed we're concerned about what we see in the wars that are existing in the world, and particularly in Israel and Gaza at this particular time. That we can live without fear of bomb and bullet. We live today, thankfully, in a reasonably democratic society. And that is all because men and women gave their lives in the past to defeat tyranny and evil. In our scripture reading today, we read about three friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were prepared to be cast into the fiery furnace rather than deny their principles and rather than bow down to this pagan god. And we can imagine the size of this in the plain of Jura, this great, enormous, golden, shining image. And rather than worship that, they were prepared to not deny their principles in worshipping the real God, the true God, Jehovah God. They felt that their cause was worth dying for, and they were prepared to do so. Now, of course, as we know later on in the story, they were miraculously rescued under the hand of the Almighty God. But I trust as we look briefly at this well-known Old Testament story, we will come to the conclusion that our Christian faith, our personal Christian faith, is worth living for, and it certainly is worth dying for. Because if we die without a Christian hope, then, and only then, we're bound for a lost eternity. If you want a key text in this passage we read, you'll find it, and I outlined it in verse 18, the words of the three men. Now, I want you to imagine, to realize the courage in front of the great Nebuchadnezzar, the courage of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they said, "Our God is able to rescue us. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, we will not serve your gods," with a small g, "or worship the image of gold that you have set up. Our God is able to rescue us, but even if he does not, we are not going to bow down and worship your false gods and your image." This image of gold, it's hard for us to imagine the size of it, the shine, the brightness of it. This image of gold was set up on the plain of Jura, and it was a visible image of Nebuchadnezzar's new theology. It was to be a great affair of pagan worship, the object of worship for the entire empire. Does not this story teach us some things? First of all, and we can apply it today, there is still a temptation to worship and serve other than the living God. Yes, it's about worship. They were asked to worship. They worship this image. But there's still a temptation to worship maybe things that other than the truth will not stand up and not be a plain of a big golden image. But you can think of other things who give our attention other than God. Worshipping and serving other than the living God. In the Old Testament, there was a challenge given to Adam and Eve. You remember the story in the Garden of Eden, to obey not the voice of God, but the voice of the serpent. You'll not surely die. Did God really mean? There's a temptation to worship and serve other than the true God. In the story of Moses, that wonderful account of Moses, the challenge was to take God at his word, and they would follow his leading to the promised land. But what did they do? They grumbled and they grumbled and they grumbled. They eventually got there 40 years later. In the New Testament, there was a choice given to take Jesus as God's son or Barabbas. One person was going to be set free. And what did they make the choice? Crucify him, we want Barabbas. There is still a temptation to worship and serve other than the living God. A choice, a bad choice. Today, we are often faced with choice. And in at the back of it and in through it all, the choice depends often on our relationship with God, our desire for God. And more times than we maybe wish to number, we too decide against God's will, do we not? The question we must put to the back of our minds, do we take God's will into account when we are faced with choice? Because the story that we read from the scripture shows us very clearly that's exactly what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. We will not bow down and worship your image, O great and powerful Nebuchadnezzar. It would have been easy for the three Jews to give in, but because they felt that the whole issue of real principle was involved, here were people who had principles, and they would not put God to the test. They felt their cause was worth dying for. The big, powerful Nebuchadnezzar. And they said, no, no. Be it known to you, O king, we are not going to serve your gods. When you and I have choices to make, whether they be big or whether they be small, make sure that we choose that which is in line with God's will, even if, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it may be a costly choice to make. It was said that James Renwick, who was one of the last of the Scottish martyrs, and he was offered freedom if he would just drop ink, let ink fall over his writings that he had made. But he said no. It would be a sign of the denial of Christ. They submitted to the will of God. Like Job in a similarly difficult situation, Job, you remember, said, even if he slay me, yet will I trust him. You know, there's a popular philosophy these days, everybody's doing it. Or it's the done thing. How many of you, often have you heard that when something is happening and you know in your heart it just is not in line with the will of God? It might be popular opinion. You see it on television. We're bombarded with it. Morality and immorality, I really should say. And all kinds of evil of every kind. Everybody's doing it. But because everybody's doing it doesn't mean it's right. Because everybody was bowing down to worship Nebuchadnezzar's great image, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego knew it wasn't right. We will not. We will stand up with principles. Would you, in similar circumstances today, would you go along with the crowd, blend in, or would you stand out and go in the opposite direction? Is the cause that you're living for worth dying for? Remember this, if it's not worth dying for, it's not worth living for either. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they faced a challenge and they refused to compromise. And why did they do it? They did it because they had real confidence in the true and living God. You see, our faith is not worth dying for unless we believe it with all our heart. Put it like this. If your life was at stake for the fact that you came to the service of worship today, would you be sitting in that pew? Now, that might seem rather blunt, but that's the challenge. That's the challenge that these three Jews from Babylon felt, and they considered the matter to be absolutely worth dying for. We need today, men and women, and boys and girls, people who will stand up with determination and faith. And in a society that is now so pluralistic and anything goes and so on, we need people to stand up for the truth and stand up for the faith, even when we're asked, and maybe in years to come, we don't know, I suspect it'll become more difficult, that we'll be asked to compromise more and more. I started to read yesterday afternoon, one of our ministers in the presbytery was on a sabbatical about revitalizing churches, and he studied something in the wee free church in Scotland and how some churches are growing and so on. But he happened to comment how that in Scotland, and how sadly in Scotland of all places, Scotland used to be a place, John Knox and the great faith and so on, and he commented about so many towns where there were maybe five or six churches. Now there's not one. And how that Christians are being openly persecuted. Maybe it's not just as bad as that here in Ireland, but it'll probably come. Would you stand up for a cause if you're pushed to do otherwise? What was the confidence that they possessed? They had real confidence in true God. They said, our God is able. Our God is able. In other words, there's nothing too hard for him. I don't know how things work out. He didn't promise it would be easy, but our God is able. And if his will is not as our will, Our God is still able, and we will trust him and rest, and we will stand up for him to the end, as the story in Daniel, as we know, goes. I want to throw out a challenge today. A challenge to all who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. A challenge indeed to everyone to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. That's most important. But a challenge to all who have been committed Christians, maybe for years and years and years. Are we ashamed of the gospel? Are we ashamed of the gospel? Yes, it's all right when everybody's doing it. But are we going to be people like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? We'll stand up for it even when it is not popular society all around us. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. Don't be ashamed to stand up for the gospel. Don't be half-hearted about it. Don't be a defeatist attitude to the gospel. Paul said it's the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes. Think about Jesus today. Some of those hymns referred not just to the poppy, but to the blood that reminds us. Think about the one who faced the cross. That was tough. And there he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the sweat, we're told, fell from his brow like drops of blood. And the disciples had fallen away, they'd fallen asleep, and they were exhausted with the whole thing. And no doubt Jesus was exhausted too. And Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but thine be done." He did not run away from the cross. He felt that the cause of going to the cross was worth dying for. And by his death and resurrection, he made it possible for you and me to have a faith that is worth living for. A faith that is worth living for. He wants his followers to stand firm. Stand firm in the faith. Rejoicing in the liberty that we have in this land still. Grateful for the fact that others have done for us. And grateful enough to hand on to the next generation that heritage that we have, that we hold dear, and the blessings that too often we take for granted. If our God does not rescue us from the furnace, we want you to know, O King, we are not going to serve your gods. We are not going to worship that image that you have set up. Jesus said, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man would lay down his life for his friends." You know, our names may never be inscribed on a brass plaque or a war memorial inside a church or anywhere else. But with God's help and with our cooperation and determination and with our faithfulness, our names will pass on the faith to the next generation. Oh, the boys and girls that went out of this church a few moments ago. To the next generation, to generations yet unborn. If we are faithful to the God who is faithful to us, may it be so. Let us pray. Lord, we are thankful to those who passed on the faith to us. We are thankful to those who gave us a good and a godly heritage. We are thankful for so many blessings. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we might know Christ personally and have the stamina and the stand to stand up for him. And at the last, to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Bless this congregation, we pray, this minister and those that work here. All of us today, those who are not able to be with us today, Lord, you know our need. Meet our needs, we pray, and we give you praise. Through Christ we pray. Amen. Standing up for what we believe. I want to sing, "I'm Not Ashamed to Own My Lord and to Defend His Cause," but we're using the tune Hudson with the chorus "At the Cross, at the Cross, where I first saw the light." So let us praise God.